Welcome to episode 18 of the F1 Show for the 2007 Chinese Grand Prix. I'm Robin Warner.
And I'm Jim Lau, and all I can say is we had a dramatic race today.
The Drivers' Championship is still wide open as rookie Lewis Hamilton is out of the race, allowing Kimi Raikkonen to win the Chinese Grand Prix. Behind in second is everyone's favorite villain, the McLaren driver Fernando Alonso, who is now but 4 points behind his teammate going into the season closer in Brazil. Felipe Massa had nothing for Alonso, but the second Ferrari driver captured 6 points for third place. In a shockingly good drive, the infantile Sebastian Vettel just missed the podium and collected 5 points for his Toro Rosso team. Button proved his wet weather prowess and collected a fifth place, better than what Honda deserves. Behind him was, believe it or not, another Toro Rosso piloted by Antonio Liuzzi, collecting another 3 points for the team, which catapults them to seventh in the World Championship. Nick Heidfeld followed in seventh, a rather unimpressive drive for the usually quick BMW Sauber team, and David Coulthard kept it real for the senior Red Bull team, earning a point for eighth. So Jim, Lewis Hamilton, what happened?
Dude, it was, I mean, a wet and dry sort of mixed conditions for the race. Beforehand, there was all these big predictions of there's going to be a typhoon, something or other coming through, and just, you know, huge rain like we saw last weekend. That never really materialized. There were some sprinkles sort of on and off in the early parts of the race, and then it really dried out. So
wait, can you stop right there? A typhoon? This is a hurricane you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know quite what the difference is there, but it was a real serious storm that apparently just, I don't know, somehow missed Shanghai completely for, you know, the duration of the race. But going from a prediction of a typhoon to light sprinkles is really a pretty big spread there. So I don't know why these guys haven't fired their weathermen yet, but maybe it's about time.
Speaking of weathermen, there was predictions all over across the team saying, oh, it's going to rain in 2 minutes. No, it's going to be dry for a half an hour. No, yeah. It's raining.
Yeah, we heard these on team radio from different people sort of going back and forth. Some saying it's definitely going to rain, and some saying, oh, no, it's not going to rain or whatever. And like we said, nothing serious ever really materialized after the initial sprinkles. But so Lewis Hamilton, you know, started on pole, had a good first stint, really good. It was pulling away from Kimi Raikkonen solidly. And then when he came in on his first stop, didn't change tires, because if it's going to continue to rain, you don't really need to change the wet tires, and you don't want to go into dries when there's even a little bit of water on track. So he just, for his first pit stop, got fuel on board and went back out on the same set of wet weather tires. So it made it a good quick pit stop. But then by the time he was done with his second stint, just the tires were just shot. I mean, they were literally down to the cords on the rears. You could see the tread had all gone away.
He was all over the place on the track.
Yeah. And then literally on his pit entrance, he pulls into the pit and it's a right left, and he made the right and couldn't make the left and just went off the pit entrance there and was
into
stuck
a tiny little gravel pit right at the, right.
Yeah.
At the
somehow
entrance.
He found like the only gravel, runoff there on the whole freaking circuit. And, the guys tried to push him out of the gravel, but he was beached there. And that obviously just sort of threw everything back wide open for the championship, with Kimi Raikkonen leading and Fernando right behind him and Massa back there in the fray.
It should be said that, Lewis drove 31 laps on that set of tires. And a good part of those laps, there was a pretty dry line. I mean, so he was really wearing these tires down. When he first came in for fuel, which was about 15 or 16 laps in, they didn't touch the tires. They left the tires alone, and it was already starting to dry then. So, I mean, he really ran these tires down to nothing. And now, Kimi Raikkonen also did the same thing, but we've seen all season that the McLaren cars have traditionally been harder on the tires than the Ferrari cars, and I think that might have been the decider today.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, I don't know if they had much choice, though, with Lewis. I mean, they actually had tires in the pit lane ready to put on the car in case they decided. So it's like the decision really went down to the last few seconds on whether to change tires or not. What we don't know, since they were under tire blankets, is whether those were wet weather tires, like full wet tires, or dries. Because at that point in the race, it was you know, midway through, it really could have gone either way. That was his first pit stop. It was still pretty early on there. So we don't know what they were contemplating switching to, but you know, the track certainly at that point was not dry enough for dry tires. I mean, he would have slid all over the place, probably gone off the track. And full wets would have just worn out so quickly that even if it did rain, you know, 10 or 15 minutes later, that his wet tires would have been shot by then. So, and there's no sense in going to another set of intermediates, really, when this one's not gone yet. So, you know, I guess that's all that they could do. And it seemed sort of surprising at the time, but looking back on it, you know, that's about all, that's about the only option I think they realistically had.
Well, and what's interesting is, Hamilton, when he was about to make that pit stop, almost certainly would have gone to the dry weather tires. Two laps later, Kimi Raikkonen did go to dries. It did prove to be the fastest thing to do, and the track did pretty much stay dry. I mean, it got a pretty wide dry line as by the time the race closed. Now, my question is, who do you think pushed this far? I mean, certainly when their first pit stop, I think no one will argue that they probably made the right decision. Again, most teams kept the tires on, kept the intermediates on that almost every team started with. And the question is, why didn't they come in a couple laps earlier? I mean, they could see that the tires were degrading. They could see that it was getting more and more of a handful. Raikkonen had caught up with him, and he still stayed out a couple of laps longer than I think he needed to.
Yeah, well, McLaren has taken the blame for this as a team. They sort of said no individual is responsible for this, but then again, you know, I'd be surprised if McLaren went out and blamed Lewis Hamilton for anything outright. So there you go. So, I mean, yeah, it's certainly, I think, for the first pit stop, they made the right call, but, you know, why couldn't they bring it in earlier for the second pit stop? I don't know. We could see, I think it was a lap prior to that, you know, when we saw just a shot of Lewis Hamilton's car, we could see the rears visibly down to the cords. I mean, you know, we're not like, you know, looking at a close-up or a slow-mo. I mean, this is just as the car is driving around. It was pretty obviously these tires were just gone. So I'm surprised, A, that Lewis didn't sort of have the wherewithal to slow down so much for that pit in, because usually, you know, situations like that, he might slide through there but make it work. And just that he was put in that situation in the first place.
He's shown so much presence of mind in races past, being cool and collected. I mean, this truly was, at the core of it, a Hamilton mistake. Even though the decision to change tires might have come from somewhere else, I mean, Hamilton was the one that was really trying to slide through there. And maybe he did think he was going a crazy slow speed, but
yeah,
you know, he was behind the wheel. He was the one that slid off the corner. This was perhaps the first genuine Hamilton mistake we've seen.
Well, it's his first retirement in something like 20 or 30 some races. I mean, going
33
back
races
to GP2, yeah. Where, you know, in the last time he retired from a race, he was actually disqualified because of first passing the safety car, and that was in GP2, and that apparently was some misunderstanding. So, I mean, obviously he's really reliable, very rarely gets into, you know, serious crashes, and, you know, very rarely puts himself out of the race. But it's unfortunate, because even if the pit lane had been set up a little differently, I mean, if it were asphalt, he may have well skirted off to it and hit into the wall, you know, on this particular pit entrance. But
sure,
it's hard, you know, I guess there's a bunch of what ifs, you know, who knows. This is what did happen. So basically where that puts it now is that Lewis Hamilton now has 107 points still, you know, same as last week in the championship. Fernando Alonso, with his second place, has 103, and Kimi Raikkonen has 100 points. So there's a 7-point spread from first to third.
Going into the final race,
yeah,
baby.
And so it's obviously all got to be decided in Brazil. It's the last race. And we ran a couple of numbers on here, and that's a little bit complicated the way, because first place gets 10 points, second place gets 8 points, and then third and so on is 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So it's not, there's a sort of a bunch of permutations as to how this could all pan out. But basically, if Lewis gets first or second place, he wins the championship. And there's nothing that anyone else can say about that. You know, he's got enough points with his 4-point lead that if Lewis wins in Brazil, he's got the championship. And if Alonso wins, Lewis has to be fourth or lower in order for Lewis to take the championship, and for Alonso to take the championship. And then if Kimi is first and Fernando is third or lower and Lewis is sixth or lower, then Kimi can win. So it sounds like, you know, it's sort of a long shot that Lewis won't win. I mean, first or second is not a huge problem for him.
But it was also a long shot that he wouldn't win this round.
Exactly. So, you know, that's why we run the races, as they say, and we'll have to just see. We'll just have to, you know, watch the race. And as a quick program note, I'm actually going to be in England for that race. I'm not going there to see the race. I'm going
well,
there.
The race is in Brazil.
I'm going there for work, but I'll be there watching, presumably with a whole bunch of Hamilton fans and a lot of probably Alonso haters, as the case may be. So, you know, we won't be able to bring you a regular podcast on time next week, and we'll just sort of have to figure out how we can bring you coverage both on time and in depth, and that may end up being two separate podcasts. But that's neither here nor there.
So what I'm starting to think about it, I mean, you know, as the season got more and more towards the end, they asked Hamilton more and more, how are you going to, can you win the championship? How is the pressure? Are you feeling the pressure? What's the pressure like? He always said, no pressure, it's cool. No, I'm just doing this race by race. This was the second race. He had a chance to clinch it this weekend. the pressure had to be at some level getting to him. I mean, yeah. This was a big deal. He would be the first rookie world champion ever.
I mean, there's got to be pressure there. Obviously, there is pressure there. But in an interview, I mean, are you really going to come out and say, yeah, I'm under a tremendous amount of pressure and it's tough for me to deal with? Because then, you know, you're opening yourself up to, oh, how do you deal with it and what do you do and whatever? I mean, I think that's just, you know, keeping his game face on or whatever. And you know, he does seem to be cool and collected under pressure and less emotional than some of these other guys. But then again, the only things we see of him are what, you know, the TV cameras and the media and all that. And he knows those cameras are on him and everything. So it's hard to say if maybe, you know, when he's, you know, literally all by himself, if he's just like, bloody hell, there's so much pressure. Ah! I mean, now I'm sure he's probably like, can't wait to get to Brazil and start getting some laps on that track and, you know, really start to feel things out. I'm sure he's just, you know, chomping over the bit right now, just trying to, you know, just prepare himself mentally and everything for that race. What I can't help thinking about, though, is what if what happened to Alonso, or what happened to Hamilton, had happened to Alonso?
Yeah.
He may have just found a gun somewhere and just shot the whole team down. I mean, because Alonso, apparently, after qualifying, literally,
threw
like
a temper tantrum.
Yeah, like broke down a door, like threw his helmet down or something. Like, I mean, literally acting like a 2-year-old after he, you know, after he qualified, what is he, fourth? And, you know, when Hamilton just got pole and Alonso was just furious. And, you know, there was some talk of if Lewis had clinched the world championship this weekend, that Alonso wouldn't even be in the car next week. He'd say, you know, screw all this. What am I here for? If I'm not going to win the championship, I'm out. Or that, you know, McLaren may not have even wanted him in the car.
Which seems utterly ridiculous to me. I those circumstances just seem so outlandish to me. It's like, that could never happen. But at the same time, the circumstances leading up to it, and you start to go, yeah, it's possible that McLaren would be angry enough to kick him out of the car, or that Alonso would be angry enough to refuse to drive. Those are extreme situations. But here we are. I don't know how you can be on a championship-winning team and be that upset. But
yeah. I think sort of speaks to just Fernando sort of being a prima donna driver and expecting the best treatment out of everything. And he made a couple of the comments throughout the weekend about how, you know, the team treats Lewis better and all that. But if you look into the facts, that's not true in terms of just the number of laps they each got in qualifying and everything else. So, you know, neither of us are real impressed with Alonso still. And, you know, I'm still rooting for Hamilton in the championship, just sort of as personal preference. It would be really cool to see Raikkonen because, Raikkonen, if anyone on the grid here, has earned his way. I mean, there are so many championships that have been just, you know, gone up in flames for him, literally.
Yeah, that, mechanically.
You know, with his McLaren history and all that. So, yeah. You know, Raikkonen has earned it, and if he can make it work, good for him. And Lewis, I mean, that would just be a sensation for him to come up and win it. But Alonso, I feel like if he does win it, he's sort of gone about it the wrong way.
But if Alonso does win it, that would make him a 3-times champion. I mean, that's a pretty impressive stat, and I think
all in a row too.
Regardless of what you think of him, we'd still have to give him a lot of credit as a driver. I mean, he still drives quite well. I think his behavior off track and even at times on track has been childish, but you know, he is still quite impressive. And
he had some good moves today, especially, I mean, in the mixed wet and dry conditions. That's some of the trickiest, you know, racing to be in, where you don't know going into one corner or the next, or, you know, especially if you're going outside of the dry line to make a pass, you're going onto the wet, you know, and he definitely kept the car under him and did really well. I mean, last weekend, you know, he had this crash because he was presumably just trying too hard. But this weekend, he definitely just did a really good job in keeping the car together and, you know, definitely did a solid race. So his driving talent isn't really the issue here. I think it's just sort of
no one's questioning that.
Yeah, just sort of his, you know, his attitude and his demeanor. And you think about some of the other drivers. I mean, like, you know, the Red Bull guys with Coulthard and Weber, they've been in it for a while. They know they're not winning for, you know, racing for winning the world championship. They're there because they love the sport. You know, they're there just because they want to do the best they can. This is what they live for. And for Alonso to be in the top team, you know, that's a situation any of those guys would want to be in. You know, just racing for a potential win is what, like, you know, 20 of the drivers on the field, that's what they want. You know, that's all they could possibly want. And yet for Alonso to just be so fed up with his team and with his, you know, situation that he'd just not race, it's too bad.
Yeah, well, speaking of personal preferences, I have to say I love Hamilton, and I think he's done very well, and I think Hamilton deserves the world championship. However, I would love to see Raikkonen take it. Come from behind type of win is kind of Raikkonen style in a way. And I mean, he's been second in the world championship like 3 or 4 times now. It's just insane how he's been on the cusp so many times, and he's deserved it, you know, so many times. So I would really love to see him take it. And, you know, everyone predicted him to win the championship preseason, and it would be very ironic if he did end up winning it, but in the circumstances he did. Which brings us to there's this race. I mean, he did win the race, and he won it in dominant fashion.
Yeah, well, if Lewis hadn't been out, I mean, it seems like it really Lewis definitely had a handle on Kimi. It would have been interesting to see, you know, after that second pit stop, how the tires played out. Kimi Raikkonen did pass Lewis Hamilton before his second pit stop, and was pulling away. But you know, even so, if it had ended Kimi, Lewis, and then Fernando and Felipe, and so on,
it would have been over.
Yeah, that would have been over. So you know, Lewis knew he could give up that position and didn't have to battle for it. But yeah, I mean, definitely Kimi did a good job, and they're basically probably, you know, just going full out and saying, hey, if we can possibly win this now, especially now the way with Lewis's trouble, you know, they're just pushing extra hard, and Felipe is sort of back into the supporting role of just trying to, you know, get Kimi as far forward as possible.
Ironically enough, the Kimi Raikkonen, the guy that doesn't seem to care much about anything, let alone whether a driver is a second-tier driver or an equal driver or whatever, now has a fully-fledged second-tier driver working for him. Certainly that is not the case between the two McLarens.
Yeah, not at all.
So another impressive drive that I think is absolutely required to mention is Sebastian Vettel.
Dude, he started 17th on the grid. Okay, he qualified 12th but was pushed back five grid spots for holding up Heikki Kovalainen and qualifying. And this is actually after after Fuji. We didn't report on this at the time because this all sort of came out after the race. But Sebastian Vettel was penalized for causing that crash with Mark Webber. You know, where he ran into the back of Mark Webber, was going to be penalized 10 grid spots.
That was rescinded.
And then they sort of reviewed that and sort of figured, okay, this, it may have been Lewis's fault, it may have been Vettel's fault, whatever. But we're not going to put any penalties on that. So with that weight off his shoulders, Vettel, you know, still managed to screw something up and slow down Heikki Kovalainen in qualifying. So he starts 17th, ended up 4th. I mean, he just had, you know, a bit of luck, a bunch of strategy, and a whole bunch of skill to keep the thing going. And obviously, you know, with some of the other top drivers falling out of the race, it worked out, you know, played right into his hands. But, I mean, great job, Vettel, and this is the best thing. This is all he could have hoped for, to sort of, you know, get his name in the media as a good driver and not just as causing problems and getting penalties.
Well, if you want vindication for crashing out one of your one of your teammates, quote unquote, not exactly, but you know, to come back and be fourth in a car that is a traditional backmarker that doesn't score points, I mean, that's quite impressive. Although it's not just Vettel, because you know, Vittorio Luzzi, you know, he finished sixth and brought in another 3 points for the team. I mean, the Toro Rosso team had a fucking had a bang up job.
Yeah, and they both finished ahead of the proper Red Bull Renaults. So, you know, they just great job on track there. And again, that's partially tire strategy was such a big deal here with the way, you know, the wet and drying conditions and how your fuel load, you know, and the timing of when your pit stops were lined up with the timing of the weather, which no one could have predicted, really was a big factor in that. But it all worked out for them. And the Renaults were supposedly set up for more of a wet setup. But either it wasn't wet enough or it was too wet or something. And you know, so they sort of had gambled one way, and that didn't really work out for the Renaults because the, you know, Heikki Kovalainen, you know, got 2 points in, or sorry, he's seventh in the championship. That wasn't his result. Where was he? Yeah, ninth in this race, and with Fizzy back in 11th. But for however the STR guys had set up their cars, that's what it was today. And Sebastian was really good in the wet at the beginning and solid in the dry at the end. I mean, it really just worked out for him.
Yeah, I think both drivers deserve credit, but you know, Vettel just turned 20 recently. This kid still looks like he's 13. I think he's going to be a guy. I mean, this is kind of a cliche to say, but this is a guy we're going to see a lot more of in the future. I think once he settles down and gets comfortable in the car, you know, it's kind of I see him as kind of the next Nico Rosberg, in the sense that Nico Rosberg showed flashes of brilliance his rookie season, and he was quite young. And now that Nico's settled in, he's been a very solid driver. Not necessarily always in the spotlight, not always, you know, getting these amazing positions, but, you know, usually does quite well and outperforms his teammate by quite a bit. He did not have a very good result today. He was only 16th. But, you know, Vettel is going to be one of those guys that's going to drive and get more out of the car than perhaps the car deserves.
Yeah. Now, someone not to watch out for, Ralf Schumacher.
Oh, boy.
Was just announced during this last week that he will no longer be at Toyota.
Aww.
Yeah, big surprise there, something we've been talking about for half the season. And
something we've been praying for him this season.
Yeah, really. And it's presumed that Timo Glock, who's right now in GP2, will be moving in to fill his spot at Toyota. He actually qualified sixth. I mean, he did really well. Got the car up, well into the top sixth place. I mean, what can you say? And then literally he spun on the first lap, so he was in the very last spot for a while. Worked his way back up, and then had another spin and got off and just knocked himself out of the race. So he retired after 25 laps, so not even halfway through the race. So he was actually looking pretty racy for a while there. Which tells you a little bit.
He ralphed it.
I mean, to start sixth and with a potential for a lot of points or even a podium or who knows, to spin it on the first lap. That's classic Ralph there. But then the fact that he was faster and it's like now he's racing for his job. Now he's got to impress the other teams and say, hey, yeah, we got to hire that guy. So now the fact that he's notably faster now than he was for the rest of the season kind of tells you he wasn't trying as hard as previously. I mean, there may be other factors there, but that seems like it's certainly part of the deal that Ralph just wasn't pushing his total fastest. He wasn't in it for the team. Now he's out for himself, trying to prove himself, and then turns out, hey, yeah, he's actually faster. So I don't see any spot for him to go next year. I mean, the driver lineup is starting to shape up for next year.
I don't see it either. There's nowhere that his experience outweighs his lack of ability where that experience would really be needed.
I mean, the backmarker teams, even, I'd be really surprised if Super Aguri wanted anything to do with him because Super Aguri is all Honda and he's, been this Toyota guy and, they wouldn't have they wouldn't be able to pay him anywhere near what he'd want anyway. STR has got a solid lineup next year with Vettel, who we just talked about.
The Sebastians!
And Sebastian Bourdais coming out of Champ Car. I mean, he's going to be solid. Those guys both should be able to, just do, make the best out of whatever they can put together for that car.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what Bourdais can do.
The Spyker team is going to become Team India. They've been bought out by an Indian consortium, so that's probably going to be, I don't know if they're going to get Narain Kartikeyan in there.
Sponsored by 7-Eleven, I hear.
Yeah. Nice. And, so there's not like a, sort of a backmarker team he can fall into or anything like that. I mean, we don't know like what the Red Bulls will be doing necessarily or all that, but I don't see Ralphie.
He's out, dude. He's out.
I don't see Ralph in Formula One in 08, and he sort of said, oh, no, everything's on the table.
My guess is he's going to go the Jacques Villeneuve route and, put out an album.
Put out a country album.
I mean, that's his best
bet. And probably have a failed career in NASCAR. That'll be great.
But good luck, Ralph. We wish you well. Another guy that deserves, I think, a hoorah is Jenson Button, who, as I mentioned in the race report, just had another brilliant drive in the wet. Poor Button. Sometimes I get on his case a little bit for maybe just being a little lackluster, not trying as hard. But, I think he really deserves better than what this Honda team is providing. And I guess I can only hope that for 08, Honda does what they say they're going to do, which is trash this car completely and start over with a clean sheet of paper.
Yeah, they said they've gone, back to the drawing board on the new car. They've said, don't put any more effort into the 07 car. So, it's good to see Jensen. I mean, it just tells you that his driver skill then wasn't some big upgrade that, allowed Jensen to finish, fifth place. And, I mean, hopefully, because Honda in the past have come up with great cars. I mean, they were what, like second, third in the championship last 3 years ago.
They were second right in the championship behind the Ferraris in 2004 when Jensen had like 10 or 11 podiums.
Yeah, so they've done this in the past. Whatever happened this year, whatever direction they went in that was wrong, or who knows what the problem is, or if it's because that David Richards left and that sort of left the team, trying to figure out which way is up, or I don't know. But hopefully they can come up with something good for next year. But I mean, Rubens Barrichello again. I mean, where is he? I don't even know. Does he have any points this year? I don't think he does.
Nope, not a single one.
Points.
All six of the factory Honda team's points, the championship points, have come from Button.
Yeah, so for Barrichello, who was once second driver to Michael Schumacher and was fairly consistently on podiums and all that, to just sort of have fallen back, and he doesn't even have any flashes of brilliance really anymore. He's just kind of going around in circles, I guess.
He has flashes of competence, I think, is the best you can say for him. And he's one of those guys that just needs to retire, I think. Coulthard, I go show up and down because I really like him and I want him to do well. I like his attitude and stuff. And he had a good result today. He was eighth today, collected a point for the team. But man, Weber usually outperforms him quite a bit. Weber has some pretty awful luck. But, I'm not sure Coulthard has much left either. And, these are the two senior drivers in the sport, and I think it might be time for them to move on. And as I actually have mentioned this in the podcast before, You know, Coulthard owns a hotel in Monte Carlo, Monaco. So, dude, just go live it up, man. You've earned it.
Go hang out with, like, Michael Schumacher and them and just, you know, just...
Talk about the good old days.
Yeah, just talk about the good old days. You know, hang out on your various yachts and things. And
yeah,
just,
have a meeting.
You know, it's like, don't bother mixing around, you know, getting run into by little kids and all that anymore.
Those stupid little kids are just going to, you know, annoy you.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, in like 5 years, there's going to be Grand Prix drivers that are like 13 years old anyway. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know, these old guys, I don't know.
Yeah, man, and, you know, invite us out. F1 show, you know what I mean?
F1 show live from a yacht?
We've been there.
I could do it.
Yeah, man, there's huge potential there. We will promote your hotel.
Oh, yes. So, Spyker this weekend.
Spyker!
Yeah, they were the only cars to start on extreme wets at the beginning of the race. So they sort of figured, hey, this monsoon is going to come. All these other fools will be out there at intermediates, and we'll have the proper wet tires. Yeah, it didn't quite happen that way. So they basically, this was a race to forget for them. Adrian Sutil actually had a pretty big crash early on in the race. I mean, or I guess it was almost halfway through, 24 laps in. And we didn't really see what happened. We just saw his, you know, busted ass car kind of cruising around somewhere. Didn't cause a safety car or anything.
That is his BA car.
So, you know, I'm not quite sure what happened with Sutil there. And Sakan Yamamoto, last of the running cars, three laps down. You know, they started.
You know, good result for him.
And they started 21st and 22nd. So, I mean, they just don't have it together. I mean, whether the rain just sort of, if they have a decent strategy for, you know, not being absolute last on the field in the dry, then some rain comes. That just kind of throws that out of the water, or I don't know what. But, the Spikers would really just rather move on and, you know, I guess look forward to the big influx of cash that they'll get from being bought out and hopefully, do some better things in the, you know, months to come. But, man, that's too bad for them, and you know, nothing's really come out of that team for a while now.
Yeah, I mean they've had their own little moments where they've done reasonably well, but I mean they are without any doubt the new Minardi. They're perennially in back, and that's not really going to change without some serious money and talent put into that team, and maybe the new Team India will do just that. That will yet to be seen. But for now, we're going to say that's about it for the Chinese Grand Prix, I think.
Yeah, certainly. And we'll just have to see. I mean, you know, with the next race, we've got 2 weeks until Brazil, and we can't wait to figure out what's going to happen. You know, like I say, we'll bring you a podcast one way or another on it. But, you know, we're just going to
We'll bring you a podcast, and we might even bring you two. We're just not exactly sure when.
So, yeah, we're just going to be sort of crunching numbers and trying to figure out what happens if it, what if Vettel wins and then Raikkonen's in second and then Hamilton. Oh, man. So we're going to have to figure out what all the possible options are.
We're not going to be sleeping much the next couple of weeks.
But anyway, for 2 weeks until then, you know, enjoy the suspense leading up to it and possibly one of the best Grand Prix finishes, you know, for a season that we've
ever
had. Ever.
And send us feedback.
feedback@f1show.com or just hop onto our website, f1show.com, and you can respond right to our posts on there. But until then, I'm Jim Lau.
And I'm Robin Warner.
See ya!